Too many founders think pitching is about features. It's not. It's about building trust fast with the right people. In this episode, 6 women-led health tech founders pitch live to real investors and decision makers. You'll hear what actually gets attention and what fails flat. If you want to turn short pitches into strategic partnerships, this is your roadmap. We break down what worked, what didn't, and how to communicate value in 2 minutes or less.
Welcome to Provider's Edge, the podcast that helps healthcare entrepreneurs and innovators break down barriers and control their business, life, and future with valuable action steps. With me, your host, Sabrina Rombach, a recovered clinician and a business deal catalyst. Let's rewrite the rules and create a positive social impact while increasing your profitability.
Before we dive into today's expert conversation, I want to pause for a minute and talk directly to the innovators in the room, especially if you're preparing for a raise or aim to land a pivotal partnership this year. Your pitch isn't just a story, it's a strategy. And if you're still guessing what investors or decision makers want to hear, you're already behind. That's exactly why we built Pitch to Yes. We don't just critique your pitch, we co-create it with you. You will walk away with a persuasion scorecard and a rewritten pitch that turns attention into action. Apply at pitchtoyes.com. Now let's dive into today's conversation.
If you missed last week's episode, hit pause and go queue it up. It's called Who Are the Founders That Win Investor Trust Fast? And it's packed with insights straight from the 3 investors who joined us live at the Women in Health Tech Pitch Tank. We asked them questions like, what makes a pitch an absolute yes for you, especially at early stage? How do you help women-led companies grow and identify the next big milestone? Today is the part 2 of that Pitch Tank event, where we put 6 selected founders who gone through a serious process after 60 applicants. So if you're ready to see bold founders in action, discover fresh healthcare solution, and learn what makes a pitch resonate in real time, stay tuned.
So let's get started. We will have our 6 amazing companies that we selected based on their scoring, on how persuasive is their product, what's their viability score, scalability score, and sustainability score, and how well, just like all the panelists have said, how well they have been communicating and showing up in this entire process. All right, first up is Nancy. Lara will put a 2-minute timer. You have exactly 2 minutes to share your amazing product, and then we'll have a 3-minute timer to get you feedback.
Okay, great. So thank you so much for this wonderful event. I'm Nancy Schermbrunner, founder and CEO of Amplify DX. Imagine sitting in a clinic, scared and in pain. And then the nurse comes out and said, your results will be back in 3 days. For millions of women, that delay means the wrong drug, and they have to go home. The infection spreads, symptoms get worse, and lives are disrupted. In women's health, diagnostic delays are common, especially in underserved areas. Current molecular tests are accurate, but they're slow, and they're locked in the labs. And most just tell you what the infection is, not whether the treatment will work. Amplify DX's DX100 is a cartridge-based system. We deliver lab quality results in under 15 minutes right there in the clinic. Less than 1 minute of hands-on time identifies the infection and detects antibiotic resistance. So the provider knows exactly what will cure the infection. Unlike all of our competitors, we combine a super simple workflow and a low-cost cartridge and built-in antibiotic resistance detection. We can also bundle multiple tests at once for optimizing clinical utility and reimbursement. And yesterday, we just got amazing results from the NIH to prove this. Is this market big enough for you as an investor? Absolutely. Women's health diagnostics and point of care is where it's growing. And we understand our customers. We've conducted over 320 voice of customer interviews. Our team is world class. We've built products like this. This is deep tech. We are going to those three-letter agencies, the FDA. We've done it dozens of times in our career, and we've changed women's health. My co-founder, Chris, our chief commercial officer, has brought the HPV test to market, game-changing for cervical cancer screening. We're raising $10 to $12 million for FDA clearance. We would love to partner with you.
All right, our three-minute timer is going to get started. So, Naomi, Jeffer, or Vita, any questions or feedbacks for Nancy?
Happy to go first. Nicely done, Nancy. This was very thorough. Would love to hear a little bit more about your background and how you got here.
Right now on the spot, or is feedback for the next pitch?
Oh, I thought we were doing some Q&A, but maybe not. If we're just doing feedback, okay.
Yeah. My background is, I'm a scientist by training. I've worked in the molecular diagnostics industry for 25 years, 20 of that at Roche. I've brought multiple products from concept through the FDA. And how I got started here specifically was during the pandemic. There was a call to action for bringing up testing. So the company got into this very special program from the NIH. We've been in it for 5 years. It's incredible. We're one of two companies out of 16,000 in this final phase. We really know what we're doing in this space, and it's huge. And we're so passionate about bringing the right product in a capital efficient way that is going to change in underserved communities and women's health. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Yeah, Nancy.
So one of the things that I didn't quite get from the presentation, where are you in development and all of that?
Yeah, great question. I mean, that's a backup slide that I just deleted, but we've just completed our alpha prototype. This is the cartridge. I don't have an instrument with me. We're just about to close our seed extension of another $1 to $2 million that will allow us to complete the design lock and do the bench studies for FDA validation. And then the Series A that I just talked about will fund the clinical trial for FDA clearance. So we'll be FDA cleared and on the market in late 2026, early 2027, with a point of care system that's, it will be a de novo and CLIA waived. In the meantime, our chemistry also works on the bench and equipment that is in all of the clinical labs. So we're going to be selling a research use only kit this year, launching in Q4. That'll bring in early revenue. We don't have to go through the FDA for that. And our chemistry is amazing. And I have the data to prove that from the NIH. Yeah. Yep.
Just to provide a little bit of feedback, Nancy, I think we've learned so much through the Q&A, and sometimes, and I know you don't have that much time when it comes to pitching, but including some of these metrics, for example, your timeline to market or, your early research results, efficacy results, I think would be really helpful.
Great. Great. Thank you.
Great. Amazing. Yay. First one off. All right. Next, Tadu.
Sounds good. Oh. Flowcare, making period products a free standard in every restroom. Imagine getting your period in public and bleeding through your pants. It happened to me at a national conference. I had to use toilet paper whole day. 51 menstruate, yet 80% of public restrooms don't provide period products. That's 84 million people missing work and school every year, 14 billion in lost productivity and attendance. 24 states now mandate free period products in restroom, and that number is growing. But most organizations have no way to comply. Existing solution? Broken coin dispenser that jams and takes 30 minutes to refill. Our solution, jam-free dispensers with 30 seconds refill, supply of organic pads and tampons, smart IoT, geo-tracking, and automatic refills. The Flowcares venue from school to stadiums can provide free access at $10 per person, boosting attendance, productivity, and compliance. That's 200x ROI. In a year, we have gone from idea to revenue, paid trials with three large organizations, 40K in ARR, projected 10-year LTV of 1.3 million. US restroom period hygiene market is 25 billion and is a tipping point with strong regulatory tailwinds. Our dispenser work with only our products. We lock in 3 to 5 years of recurring revenue, smart IoT integrated workflows, usage analytics make Flowcare hard to replace. We are raising 750K to enhance product and to reach to 1 million in ARR, 1.5 years, aiming for 4X valuation. Thank you. I'm Tanu, founder and CEO of Flowcare. I'm a product management executive and also a registered nurse, and I've led product to successful exit before. Reach out to us for our data room and join this movement.
That's awesome. Stay under time. So then you have more time on your feedback. All right. So 3 minutes timer, please get started. Who like to go give feedback or ask questions first?
Sure. So, wow, that was punchy and like nice job. So question for you. I think in one of the slides, you mentioned something about they work with your specific products. Yes. So if I get one of these machines, I can't refill it with whatever. I have to go to you. And
yes. So Jasper, this industry work like this. So if you look into Tor, Kimberly Clark, right? If you look at the way how this work. So these toilet paper companies, they also may design the dispenser in such a way that only their products work, right? So currently we don't have that capability. But this is why we are raising that, so that way we can create the custom packaging. That way only our products work with the dispenser. But to avoid that right now, we are locking our pilot customers to 3 to 5 years of contract.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah. Okay.
I have a question a bit more skewed towards the market and the current solutions. You mentioned that 24 states regulate or mandate these types of venues to have dispensers. Do you have an idea of how many of those dispensers or what the proportion is in the market that is currently not functioning to the level that we need? And then how much people are willing to pay to...
Yes, so that's actually a really good question. So yes, this the first study care that tied the lack of access to productivity and attendance came out in 2019. So really the state laws start passed in 2021. So we have a competitor in the market that's VentureBad that have captured whole of Utah right now, but they don't have IoT trackings and other things. And a lot of time dispensers are left empty. And this is just not their problem. So many times you go to restroom and you're going to see toilet paper missing and other things, right? So that's our unique value proposition there. To your point, how many restrooms are empty? Like I said, 80% of restrooms actually don't provide period products currently. These old dispensers were created, but because they were adding such a giant toilet burden, they either left empty, they don't work, or the new infrastructure have completely got rid of those dispenser systems. And ability to pay. This is a very minimum cost for facilities for real estate companies. So at $10 per person, estimate is like fraction of their janitorial supply budget. So this is why, for example, Texas Medical Center, our current customer, they have 100 restrooms, and our goal is to expand with them to 100 restrooms. So each dispenser is $400. So that becomes 400,000, right? And, it's 60 to 90K in recurring revenue.
Appreciate you. Thank you, Natasha. Tanu. And then next up is Natasha.
Amazing. So two surgeries, 7 blood transfusions, and 7 years to get diagnosed. I'm here to talk about a challenge about a million women face: fibroids. Every woman in this room knows what it's like to have your body questioned, dismissed, and misunderstood. But imagine that feeling lasting 7 years. That's the average time it takes to diagnose uterine fibroids, which are tumors that affect 77% of women by the age of 50 and cause 300,000 hysterectomies per year. That's 7 years of canceled plans, unexplained exhaustions, and fearing if you ever have children. 7 years of being told it's normal when you know something is wrong. 7 years of feeling invisible. This isn't just about medical statistics. I encourage you to go online tonight and read the forums. You'll see thousands of women searching for validation that their pain matters. But what if we flip the script? What if technology can detect patterns early and connect women to care before offering to remove their uterus? What if it can reduce costs? Meet MyoCurrent, a digital therapeutics app designed exclusively for fibroid care. It's not another period tracker, not another bonus app. While women search across fragmented platforms for answers, our fibroid navigator brings everything together in one place. It's a clinically validated AI companion that recognizes patterns before the crisis hits, generates HIPAA-compliant reports that doctors actually trust, supports women through their entire fibroid journey, because let's be real, this isn't a one.
Real quick, if you're a healthcare founder building in women's health, mental health, digital health, age tech, biotech, diagnostics, or longevity, we built Capital Engine for you. We don't just get you in the room, we make sure you're ready to own it. Our team vets the right investors and potential C-suite operators to help you validate products, run pilot trials, or scale your next revenue partner. Some founders get so much investor interest, they've asked us to slow it down. And whether it takes 2 months or 2 years, we stay with you until your raise is closed with expert advisors who've built and exited healthcare companies themselves. Apply now at Capital Engine VC and let's get to work. All right, let's get back to the second half of our show.
And done condition. Fibroids do return. And it costs less than $200 annually, which is less than one ER visit. Fibroids are a massive underserved women's health challenge, and it represents a $40.7 billion global market. In the U.S. alone, the addressable is $4.6 billion. I can wrap up? Okay.
All right. We have 3 minutes to get feedback.
Happy to kick us off. Natasha, thank you so much. I'm sure you were about to get to this, but would love to hear about the business model here.
Absolutely. Yeah, of course. Thank you for that. So essentially, we're looking at B2C and B2B2C. So with fibroids right now, there's not much data regarding the B2C component regarding different markets. So looking at doing a subscription model for $15 per month, which would be doing a $150 annually for a discount. And that would cater to the women who have symptoms in the U.S. So the goal is to capture that market and then expand it to the women who do have fibroids or maybe asymptomatic in the U.S. And then looking at a different market that has a higher fibroid prevalence, like East Asia, South Asia, as well as Latin America and East and West Africa.
Thank you.
So I'm curious, what is the special sauce here? So it's patient education, and there's an AI component, of course. But what's the unique kind of value prop of your app versus someone else if they spin up a very similar thing?
Of course, I'm happy you asked that question, Jasper. And thank you so much, Naomi, for your question. So for this particular product, it's that we really want to focus on the community element of it, right? So as we're scouring Reddit and different forums, you see there's one that has 19,000 women that are talking about their symptoms, and they're to the point where they're airing their grievances, they're showing their surgical scars, and they're sharing explicit information. Now you can imagine how exacerbated and frustrated someone has to be to go to the internet for that. And so essentially what the special sauce for this product is looking at how do we gamify those lifestyle interventions by looking at the evidence-based engagement. What are the challenges that look like? How do we put fitness and wellness, and we basically edify women on their symptoms so they can understand their body and be more engaged?
You may have also been planning on to touch on this, but not had the time. I'd love to understand how you think about partnerships going forward and how that kind of aligns with your go-to-market.
I'm so happy you asked that question, because essentially with the go-to-market, we're looking at North America, right? So particularly the U.S. that has more of an established digital health infrastructure and the payer systems. And so luckily, unfortunately, but luckily that there are over 120 global treatment centers. There are different institutes. There are different specialists that are specifically for fibroids. So we want to look at how do we partner with them so we can tap into their user base that they already have identified.
I think we have less questions, but I guess on the pitch feedback, a little bit too much time on setting the stage, which unfortunately kind of truncated your other time. But good job anyway.
Thank you.
Yep, great try. All right, next up, Mahek.
All right, everybody. So I'm going to ask you to nod your heads if you have ever used any type of contraception, right? This should probably be most everybody. And so this is a story about all of us. Now, back when the birth control pill was like first brought to market, it was such a game changer. And yet, basically, like complaining about side effects was like complaining about turbulence on the Apollo 11. But at this point, like nearly a century later, we are at a point where we're using Apollo 11 to commute to work every day, right? It's like something that our whole society revolves around. And yet we're, for those on hormonal birth control, 43% experience mood-related, mental health-related side effects when we're trying to turn a corner on mental health as a society, right? For the daily pill, nearly a third are missing one or more pills a month, the daily stress, the efficacy. This is something that is just no longer acceptable for where we're at and the progress we're trying to make as a society. And I was learning about all the like effects of hormonal birth control on the brain as I was studying neuroscience at NYU. And I started digging into what other mechanisms had been tried. And I learned that there were multiple attempts at uterine estrogen receptor antagonists, that there was one that was mainly being used for heavy menstrual bleeding and only approved in India, but had really interesting positive clinical outcomes. So in this last year, we found a way to improve on that parent drug in a clinically relevant way and bring it on patent for its FDA approval as a once weekly contraceptive pill without hormones. And you know, the time is now. If we had a weekly pill, that would be a game changer. If we had a pill without hormones, that would be a game changer. And the two together is likely a category killer, even based off the 300 potential users that we had review our target product profile. So we're in preclinical lead optimization right now and would be approved by 2031. And raising $800K to finish that.
All right, let's start our 3-minute timer for feedback and questions.
So this is really interesting. I know I've seen women like take, you know, the side effects list and make dresses out of it. So like, I know that this is a very important space. So question for you, what safety is one of the biggest things I'm thinking of, obviously. Do you have any kind of data or any kind of signals about that?
Absolutely. So we have data on our parent drug, which is really, really encouraging. That was kind of the genesis of this whole thing. We saw that discontinuation due to side effects was 82% less with people using our parent drug as opposed to combined hormonal pills. In that case, of course, for heavy menstrual bleeding, because that's what it was mainly being used for in that context. But this discontinuation due to side effects, you know, and the main things really where we saw the differences was like mood effects, weight gain, these things that affect people's self-esteem, sense of self, and daily lives. And then we also do have the benefit of, you know, some long-term outlooks of like, you know, how this thing has done over many years and if anything has sort of popped up. And some of what has popped up is actually what we've gotten as our foothold to improve it in a clinically relevant way. So there's been like some case reports of endometrial thickening, which is a common side effect to many hormonal birth controls. But in our case, in this last year, we found a way to actually mitigate that long-term, rare, reversible side effect from happening, which is how we would get that composition of matter IP. So yeah, overall, we're really positive, encouraged about the side effect profile as we can see it right now.
Yeah, I have a quick question. In terms of where you see the product really finding a foothold, do you see it displacing traditional birth control hormonal pills? Because there's been a strong push towards natural cycles, and we've seen that through natural cycles. So curious how you see this type of hormonal birth control kind of fitting into the landscape.
Absolutely. So I think part of it is that while there is this push to natural cycles, there is a very clear segment, like about 20-30% use hormonal birth control to help manage their periods, right? And so that segment is not essentially going to be able to do that with natural cycles or sperm targets, which are in development. But with our unique mechanism of action, there is potential to actually address that side of things even better than the standard of care. So that's one segment, like right away, which can't come from that side of things. And then when we're talking about like two groups which are looking to get on birth control and stay on it, like adolescents and postpartum, right? It's not about switching, but just like what you're going to start on. There's like, yeah, out of time, but there's some very unique value propositions actually in both, which is part of the story. Yeah.
Appreciate you, ladies. All right. Last but not least, Jessica.
So triage errors occur in 30% of emergency room visits, and it's more often during mass casualty situations outside the hospital. Overwhelmed healthcare staff are at really high risk of prioritizing the wrong patient, which can lead to loss of life. My name is Jessica Queen, and I'm a nurse practitioner with 20 years healthcare experience. And this daily, deadly struggle certainly came home during the COVID pandemic, where unfortunately I'd walk into patient rooms only to find that the patients had already died. Moments that stay with me. And these situations and experiences I have seen echoed across other sectors, such as in the military and emergency response. And all that drove me to create a better solution. The Triage 360 platform combines an advanced hardware monitor that changes colors, and an automated triage algorithm. The system delivers data at the most important moments, changing chaos to control. Our patented technology stands out across many features, and most importantly for crisis situations, our signals can go between 10 miles between the beacons and the base station and go through buildings. This is very important in crises outside the hospital. With a 17 billion market between military and medical, we're really excited at the traction that we've had across both sectors. And we'll be in Washington, DC in 2 weeks presenting this for the military. We're finalizing the design for delivery early next spring. That will be pre-FDA, and we're raising $1.5 million to get through the FDA process for delivery to healthcare end of 2026. With experience across military and medical, I'm also assisted by an amazing team from EMS to healthcare and business experts. We're obsessed with saving lives, and we're looking for partners who share relentless commitment to better triage. The future of frontline medicine starts here. Thank you.
Awesome. Let's get started with our 3 minutes feedback and questions.
Thank you, Jessica. This was great. I would love to hear a little bit more about some of the validation that you've done with hospitals and as well as the military. What are you learning about the willingness to pay here? What are you learning about what needs to be true for them to be able to be customers?
Absolutely. So for specifically the medical field, we're targeting CPT codes that will allow reimbursement. These devices require a disposable adhesive, and the reimbursement code covers the cost of that plus So by using our system, they can generate a revenue stream above and beyond the cost of the system for them in the medical. Military space, lives are very, very important. And at the cost of $60,000 to train a new recruit, our system's about $2,000 for a 5-year reusable, rechargeable unit. So it's definitely cost savings there.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Before you said military on your slides, I was literally thinking like military. So great that you had that line of thought. Question for you around how does this get the signals, right? So it's monitoring what seems to be, you know, blood pressure, heart rate, stuff like that. Am I plugging things into it or is it wirelessly receiving? Like, where does that come from?
So specifically not blood pressure, because nobody has done that yet, FDA certified, but all other heart rate, oxygen, respirations, and temperature. And so the monitor measures those, shows them, and we're using a technology called LoRaWAN. It's a little bit newer, developed in 2009, I believe, and that is better than Wi-Fi, cellular, and it's a pulsed signal, not truly continuous. Which helps with the military for their low radio frequency profile, because we don't want to light up the troops where they are for the enemy to find.
This was awesome, Jessica. I feel like I learned a lot about an area that I don't know much about. For example, military use in something like this. Didn't know that was a thing. But I'm actually quite curious as to kind of what the unit economics or like the business model looks like. I would imagine this is quite expensive to create on a individualized basis. And so how are you thinking about that?
Yeah, so it's sold in a kit. It comes with 30 beacons to a base station that are automatically paired. Obviously this one, we want this to be customizable. So hospitals that are larger, we can sell them additional 30 boxes, and those are have a QR code on the box that you simply scan and they immediately all pair to the base station. So it's very customizable to any size unit or hospital. And that also, so there's a fixed price on that kit, and then there's the adhesives that are sold separately. And so we want to sell them a year to go of the disposable adhesives so they have enough.
Thank you. Appreciate you. All right. Next up, our finalists, and then for everyone who's staying on, our poll after the next person goes is going to come up. So we would love for you to vote. And for all our judges, we send the evaluation form to private chat so then you can also let us give some feedback that we can share after the event with our participants who are presenting. All right, Goli is our final presenter. Are you ready?
Hi, everybody. My name is Goli Amiri. I'm head of research at Casa Medical. We are pioneering the world's first personalized gynecological devices for each woman's unique body and needs. This was not available for our founder's grandmother or mine. Half of all women experience pelvic floor disorders that include incontinence and prolapse, where the pelvic organs drop into the vagina. Current treatment options include surgery, which has many complications and high recurrence rates. And there's also physiotherapy, which is not very effective for high stage prolapse. That leaves pessaries, which are vaginal devices to support pelvic organs. However, they come in fixed sizes and shapes, and 30% of women cannot find the right fit. And over 50% experience complications with their use. We have developed the world's first personalized pessaries and other novel devices to support vaginal tissue healing and recovery in postpartum and post-surgical patients. This creates a huge market opportunity with a SAM of about $2.3 billion. Our digital gynecology platform leverages advanced diagnostics, AI, and 3D printing to develop gynothotics pessaries, which have FDA and Health Canada clearance. Our clinical study of gynothotics was highlighted in the Urogynecology Journal as a translational success. Today, we have served over 100 patients across Canada through over 20 providers. And importantly, we have confirmed employer health benefit coverage in Canada. We are ready to scale and enter the US market in the fall. Our accomplished leadership team is passionate and devoted to bringing this to scale. We also have an advisory team of world-renowned providers and KOLs. We are currently raising a seed extension round, having closed $1.5 million in spring and $4 million in non-dilutive capital. We are now seeking a second tranche of up to $3.5 million to accelerate growth. Join us in personalizing public health. Thank you.
All right, our 3 minutes feedback starts now.
So you said you got payment reimbursement from Canadian markets, if I recall. So what about US? Have you talked, how have those conversations been going?
We are in discussions and we are starting the US launch for early October. It's a bit more complicated because there are, like, depending on the, you know, each state or the state that we want to go in, there are different players, but we are working on that. Yes.
Okay. So there's actually like a CPT code, like an actual code you can.
At the moment there's a CPT code for pessaries. But because this is a personalized device, we're looking at the custom devices, like custom orthotics, for example.
I'd love to understand the partnership landscape here. You clearly have to work with providers, but how does that, this is building off of Jasper's question as well, how does that affect the way that you guys are planning to work with patients and payers as you enter new markets?
That's a very good question. We are a B2B2C. We have a B2B2C business model because pessaries are prescribed medical devices. So they need to be provided by healthcare professionals. That includes in the US, recently, that usually includes urogynecologists, OBGYNs, but recently, as of a couple of years ago, pelvic physiotherapists were also able to prescribe pessaries. So in Canada, we have worked with, like, many of the clinics we work with are physiotherapists. And also a couple of big hospitals in Canada where we work with urogynecologists. So we work directly with the providers so that they can prescribe the device to the patients.
Happy to jump in with some feedback. This is not an area that I'm super familiar with since we don't do any medical devices, but just wanted to commend you for walking through the problem. It was super clear even for someone like me to understand how you're thinking about it, and really impressive how much early traction you're able to get to at such a short amount of time. So
thank you very much. Thank you. I really appreciate it.
Yeah. So what I was, Jasper, add on to it as we wrap up the 20 seconds.
What does it cost you?
Pardon?
What does it cost you to make the device?
It cost us at the moment, well, we have actually, in the past year, we optimized our production quite significantly using Six Sigma. And, you know, I don't recall exactly what it's now at, but I can find that information for you.
Perfect answer. I'll find it for
it's
you.
Profitable. It's profitable, but I don't have that margin. I'm sorry.
All right. Appreciate everyone. So let's bring up the poll right now. Everyone, feel free to vote for your favorite. And we're going to go over really quickly what they will be winning. So I know every competition is not just a fly. And all six of you should be super proud to be selected to be up here. All right. So we have all of you guys are doing great things. And we are backing you up with the number one place. We'll get a feature on our podcast and generating a newsletter, a blog, and 2 months of content that being dripped out for your publicity and for you to use. Because leverage every moment to be proud to stand out because you dare to speak up and you all compete by ranking of those elements and be able to follow up and really participate and supporting everyone in the room. And everybody else, the rest of the five, all of you will also, actually all six of you will have a sixth woman leader to watch spread in Authority Magazine. as well as that all of you will have a boardroom moment to help you to continue to strategize from the founding level or to pilot level. And our amazing partner at DealFlow Exchange is giving you 3 months of premium access to the platform. And all of us will be reaching out to you to be booking those engagements and winning. And as I mentioned, our amazing judges are also doing separate scoring. So we'll also give you those specific details on what those might be look like afterwards. And so as we are giving everyone the time to finish the poll, I know Naomi has to jump off. Everyone, please connect with each other, reach out to Naomi and everybody else. As I mentioned, we will give everyone a minute. And I know this is so amazing. We had more than 100 people show up today. So Lara, whenever you're ready, once the majority of the posts being closed, we will make that announcement. So your poll, how to vote in Zoom poll, actually it's on your left side. So in open the chat bot and the poll prompt.
I just wanted to say that the chat box, thank you all so much for supporting everyone on the call. Like it makes such a difference. And I see all of our cheerleaders. This is such an incredible community that we're curating. So if you have any feedback of how to make this event experience more, you know, beneficial to you, if you have a founder that you would love to see pitch at a next event, please then send them over to us. We would love to present them and have their opportunity, as well as we're trying to plan out our Q3 and Q4 events for DFX in person and online. So if you want to co-host an event with us, if you want to partner on an initiative that you want to bring out to your city, please feel free to reach out to Kat. She does everything for our marketing and events. And we'd love to bring something to you. We're doing a lot in Boston, Miami, and New York this fall. So I would love to see you at an upcoming event. But I just wanted to say a huge thank you to Sabrina. You did an incredible job. All of our founders, so great to see the women just show up. And it's so interesting. Like I don't come from a healthcare background, but I'm very much interested in health tech and how we're evolving. So I just wanted to say thank you so much for everyone to join.
Yes, thank you so much for the DealFlow Exchange team. Kat did amazing work to put all the media, all the getting all the people together, and thanks to everyone for applying. All right, so drum roll, please, Lara, please announce. Let's see who is our final winner. Woohoo! Wow, Mahek from. Thank you for being the first place winner. And then second place is Tanu, third place, Jessica, fourth place, Nancy, and the same score actually was Natasha tying. So, wow, so many amazing solutions here. Ladies, actually, all of you guys have been winning because all of you guys have built so much clarity, traction, and work behind this. And we can't wait to see all the other things that you can be doing before we wrap up the end of the year, right? So there's still so much room for you guys to grow. All right, as announcing, there's many different more events out there that DealFlow Exchange is hosting, same thing as us. We're continue to build our future pitch tanks with different series of focus and funding. So for any of us, please reach out to us and connect with each other in the chat room so you can all continue to collaborate and grow.
In this episode, I had the honor of hosting 6 remarkable women founders pitching their health tech solution live to a panel of investors and decision makers. Each founder had just 2 minutes to make their case of what stood out wasn't just the tech. It was the clarity of their story, their business model, and how well they aligned with payers and provider ecosystem. This wasn't about getting pluses. It was about it was about earning partnerships. Here are the 5 learning points for founders. Number 1, clarity of problem and personal story equal stronger investor connection. Founder like Nancy from MPX. And number 2, don't skip go-to-market strategy and your reimbursement clarity. Several founders receive feedback to add clarity around regulatory pathway, revenue model, and CPT codes. Reminder to the innovators, don't just invest in tech. They invest in the clear paths to payers, buyers, and traction. Number 3, tech is not enough. Show who will buy it and why. Goli from Cosmo was praised for articulating a unique market gap, partnerships, and how she's entering the US market via provider network. Therefore, innovations needs distribution. Founders who can align with care pathways and reimbursement ecosystem stands out. Number 4, category, creating their own languages. Natasha's description of Mayo Current is not just another period tracker, helped differentiate her digital therapeutic in a crowded market. Therefore, positioning matters. Language can either blend you in or set you apart. Number 5, you have, on average, less than 3 minutes to get attention per DocSend's investor review. Practice rules less. Several judges comment on needing more metrics early in the pitch, like timelines, revenue, or validation studies. Therefore, founders should front-load traction, revenue, and milestone in short pitch format. It's not about quantity, it's all about quality. So tell us, what's one part of your go-to-market or regulatory pathway that you realize investors care about way more than what you had expected?
Thank you for tuning in to Provider's Edge podcast. We hope you enjoy our latest episode and found the insights and tips helpful. We'd love to hear your feedback on the show and learn what topics you'd like us to cover in the future. So please take a moment to leave us a review on your favorite podcast platform and let us know what you think. Your feedback is essential to help us improve the show and provide you with the content you need to take your healthcare business to the next level. Thank you for your support, and we look forward to hearing from you soon.